Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
One of the things, I think, because the way my wife and I were raised and the homes we came from, we didn't want our children to suffer like we did. And the unfortunate part is I think a certain amount of suffering is good for us as human beings. It develops a lot of traits we need in order to be successful in life. And so, yeah, I think a lot of parents do that. I think they rescue their kids too much.
I think we had a bad influence on her.
Should we allow our kids to suffer? Should we allow our kids to struggle and to kind of work through some of the tougher parts in life? Well, our guest today here on the Homeward broadcast says, yes, we should. And yet, our theme for today is how a father's love protects and empowers his daughter. How are we going to reconcile the two seemingly paradoxical issues here? Well, today on the Homeward broadcast, we're going to do that. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. In just a moment, part two of Jim's conversation with Rick Johnson, a continuing conversation on how a father's love protects and empowers his daughter. Homeward is here to help you with the parenting issues that you are working through. Many of our resources are available absolutely free when you go to homeward.com. So check us out online today at homeward.com. And now here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. You know, one of the most important attributes a girl needs is to have a father who loves her and they can respect her father. And one of the most effective ways for a father to foster that attitude of respect is to be consistent in his parenting, and that's what we're going to talk about today, how a father's love protects and empowers his daughter. It's a continuing conversation with a great guy. His name is Rick Johnson. He's the founder of Better Dads. It's an organization to empower men to lead and serve in their families and communities. He's a popular speaker, best-selling author of many great books. We've had him on the program before. Rick and his wife, Suzanne, live in Gresham, Oregon, a great place. Rick, welcome back to the broadcast.
Hi, Jim. My pleasure.
Hey, we talked about this before, but your daughter, Kelsey, was quite a handful when she was growing up. And yet you said something that I thought was very interesting. You said, perhaps the biggest mistake my wife and I made while raising Kelsey was not allowing her to fail enough. Mm. Talk about that.
Well, the way that we learn best, I think, as a human being is by failing and persevering until we succeed again. And it also develops a lot of strong character traits like perseverance and one of the things, I think, because the way my wife and I were raised and the homes we came from, we didn't want our children to suffer like we did. And the unfortunate part is I think a certain amount of suffering is good for us as human beings. It develops a lot of traits we need in order to be successful in life. And I think a lot of parents do that. I think they rescue their kids too much.
You know, I found as a dad that I would tend to do that with my daughters. And I think if I would have had a son, I didn't, and you did. But with my girls, I would sometimes take the monkey off of their back, place it squarely on my back, and it became my burden and problem. And so all of a sudden, they didn't know how to work with some of these issues because as a dad, I was trying to, you know, take over. And what I needed to do was squarely take the monkey off my back, put it back on their back, and let them fail.
Well, and I think a lot of us do that. I kid moms all the time about they let their sons get away with stuff they would never dream of allowing their daughters to get away with. And as dads, we do the same thing. Our little girls know that they have us wrapped around their fingers pretty early in life.
Yep.
And that's the way it is. And maybe that's why it's important to have both moms and dads and kids as well.
Sure. It is whenever possible. With my kids, I noticed that there was a season when they thought I was invincible. In fact, there are times with my daughters who are in their 20s now, and sometimes they don't think mom's invincible. They think I am, but actually Kathy's a lot more together than I am on a lot of things. But one of the things that you said, and I really appreciate this because it takes a lot of a good grace, is you said, you know, that in your own life that there was a time when I think it was a business deal that went bad and, you know, family kind of turned upside down because of some of that, that actually turned out to be kind of a good thing for your daughter to see that, you know, dad isn't perfect.
Yeah, actually, I'll tell that story, but I actually wanted to comment on your one you just about being invincible because just a couple of months ago, we were putting new carpeting in the house, And the kids, you know, kids had both moved out, but they had both came over to, I guess, to watch me work. I'm not quite sure why they came over.
That's when my kids come over now.
But I was just dying. I mean, you know, I'm middle-aged now. I can't be hefting carpet up and down the stairs like I used to, you know. And I said, well, you know, do you think you guys could help a little bit? I'm dying here. It's killing me. And my wife made, or my daughter made the comment, well, we just kind of figured you were still the same strong old dad. We never even thought about it. I thought, there you go. They still think I'm invincible.
That's right. That's great, actually.
But no, we had a situation where a business that I had owned for 16 years, we were sued by someone for really no fault of our own. We were dragged into this lawsuit, and because I filed a claim on my professional liability, it virtually put us out of business. Couldn't afford to stay in business, so I became full-time ministry much sooner than I had anticipated that I would. And I think my daughter was like 17 then, and she came to me one day and she said, well, Dad, how are we going to live? And I said, well, you know, God will provide. I'm not too concerned about it. You know, I'm sure God will take care of us. And she looked at me for a minute and she said, well, what if he doesn't? I mean, panicky, like, what if he doesn't? And I thought, well, we'll worry about that when the time comes. But, you know, her seeing over the years, I think that kind of faith modeled out in the fact that we never missed a meal, we never missed the mortgage. Now, not that things weren't extremely difficult or tight, but that, yeah, God did provide for us in all those circumstances, I think really built her faith and helped to develop her strength and belief in God.
Yeah, you know, that is critical. And so many times we do want to, you know, we won't even talk about some of the family issues because we don't want to burden them, where in fact it's better for them to hear and kind of be a part of some of those issues. You know, over the past few decades, you've got parents, you've got educators, and really in some ways the culture at large, I think they've worked overtime at trying to help girls have a positive self-image. But in many cases, the process is having kind of an adverse effect. And you talk about we have to avoid creating daddy's little spoiled princess. And actually, I think that goes along with what you just said in terms of, you know, during that season, you know, God is going to take care. But I see a lot of spoiled princesses. Homeward is now, we have a Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific. It's a great school. At that school, you know, private Christian school, I must admit, we've got some spoiled daddy princesses going on. You know, how do you keep from, you know, spoiling your kid and at the same time giving them grace and lots of love we're talking about and being the model for them and yet not spoiling them to a point where they're, you know, almost narcissistic?
Well, one of the things that I talk about in the book is that how important it is for your daughter to respect her father.
Yeah.
And it's important not just because dads need respect, which we do, but it's important in that it helps her life if she respects her father. And one of the ways that we earn that respect, if you will, is by holding firm to the boundaries that we think are important. In other words, especially the circumstances that we were in with our daughter, who was very strong-willed, virtually everything was a battle. And my wife and I had to really define what was the core values that we were going to draw the line in the sand on, that there was going to be no negotiating on. And then we kind of had to let the rest of the stuff go. But by doing that, by having those boundaries, it showed her that I was willing to fight for her.
Yeah, that's
now
great.
So many girls have lamented to me that their dads are not willing to fight for them, that they capitulate, that they cave in, you know, whatever. And you know, it really hurts them. I think it does.
Well, it does hurt them. You know, I was in a support group. Kathy and I were in a couples group, I should say, for 7 years with some of the most wonderful people from our church, and we kind of grew our kids up together. And once that we got our kids out of the house, you know, the group changed a little bit. We don't have the weekly, you know, meetings like we used to have. But basically, all the women had some father wounds. And it was interesting because these are great people. They have gone beyond that. But yet, whenever we moved into talking about something personal about their own family, they were still grieving their father wounds and looking at some of their decisions, both the bad decisions when they were younger, or even some of the things that they were struggling with, and they looked at some father wounds. And I thought, it doesn't go away just when your kids move out of the house.
No, it really doesn't. And you know, I think God has empowered fathers with powers in a lot of ways that influence people's lives, not only for their whole lives, but for generations of people that, you know, we'll never meet.
Yeah.
The things that we do or don't do, we're impacting people's lives.
Right. It seems so, so important. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about girls and sex. You know, as a dad, my thing I used to say to my girls, you can date when you're 31 and you're going to have to, you know, wear, you know, a turtleneck and, you know, these long things. And of course that changed quite quickly. And so many studies do show that how a dad relates to their daughter is in many ways as they get older and when they were younger is where the girls are going to go in terms of relationships. So you've talked about giving your daughter permission to wait to have sex, and we can't wait to hear what you have to say on that. We're going to take a break real quick. The book, That's My Girl, How a Father's Love Protects and Empowers His Daughter. It's by Rick Johnson, my guest today. And as I said to Rick before this broadcast began, I love this book. And of course, I have three daughters, so I'm heavily invested, but I think he gives great practical advice. Roger?
Well, he certainly does, and that's part of the reason why he's been a recurring guest here. Actually, the book, That's My Girl, was a recommended resource for us not too long ago here on the program. And if you want to learn more about Rick's ministry, betterdads.net, you can just go to our resource center at homeward.com, and we've got links all over the place there as well. And the reason we are able to present this program to you each and every day, the reason we're able to podcast, tens of thousands of people listen to us via podcast every month, our daily online devotionals, our Good Advice Parent newsletter, the seminars that we provide, and more. The reason we're able to do so is twofold. First of all, your prayers. Your prayers make it possible for us to continue to do so with this ministry. And second, your financial support too. And we are coming up on the end of our fiscal year. June 30th, 2012 is the end of the Homeward fiscal year. We would love to hear from you. We need to hear from you, especially with your financial support as well. You can give a gift online at homeward.com. Our website is secure there. Or you can write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. More from Dr. Jim Burns in just a moment as Homeward continues.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
I'm really sorry you feel that way, Mr. Davis.
But there's got to be something you can do.
Look, Mr. Davis, it's not our place.
What do you mean it's not your place? This is the church, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is.
Well, then why aren't you teaching our kids more about the dangers of this world? You know, why they shouldn't be having sex and how they might get AIDS and
Mr.
all that
Davis,
stuff.
With all due respect, you're talking about subjects that are really better left to you and your wife to talk about with your own kids.
But I don't know how to do that. Don't you see? I keep counting on the church to take care of my kids, and the church keeps letting me down.
As parents, it's our responsibility to help our kids. It's not a duty we can delegate, not to the school, to the church, or anyone else. If you'd like to learn more about developing some creative, positive parenting strategies for your kids, we can download a free copy of my tip sheet called Positive Value-Centered Sex Education when you go to our website at homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
What you're about to hear is a program that is geared more for parents than it is for young children. In fact, if you have any kids listening with you right now, you might want to go straight to our website at homeward.com so you can review the program on your own.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Great conversation today. Rick Johnson is with us. He is a great author, popular speaker. He's written books like The Man Whisperer, Better Dad, Stronger Sons, Becoming Your Spouse's Better Half. And now today we're talking about a brand new book of his. It's called That's My Girl, How a Father's Love Protects and Empowers His Daughter. Rick lives in Oregon. We're talking on the phone from the new studio. I told him this was the inaugural conversation from our studio here in San Juan Capistrano, California. And Rick, just always a pleasure to have you on the broadcast. I mentioned right before the break, and Roger kind of looked at me, you know, we're going to talk about girls and sex, but you say so eloquently in your book, and I think it's so important for dads to understand this, that even appropriate physical touch from dad can really help a girl develop a very healthy attitude toward sex and sexuality. And I've often said, you know, dads, if you don't give your daughters affection that's appropriate, then there are hundreds of boys who would love to give your daughters inappropriate affection more, and they're going to want that if they're not getting it from dad.
Right.
So talk about how females are wired to respond to non-sexual affection from their dads.
Well, and we all crave healthy masculine affection. I mean, I like to hug my dad still, okay? So, you know, it's in us. It's a need that we all have for this. And if we don't have healthy masculine affection, we'll actually accept unhealthy masculine affection. And so we see girls that don't get, right, you know, hugs and kisses from dad appropriately. You know, they're looking for that affection in the backseat of cars and confusing, right, sex for love.
Right.
I was really stunned by the, you know, it's obvious to us, I think, that our time and our presence is important to our daughters. But one of the things that we, I think, don't think about is the importance of an example of non-sexual affection. And when girls don't get that from their fathers, many of them spend their whole lives making poor choices trying to get that healthy masculine affection that they crave.
And I think that happens throughout their lives if they didn't get it a lot of times, if they don't kind of work that out.
Well, when we see women that continue to keep making poor choices with men, they keep choosing the same kinds of men. It's that desire, that drive. They don't want to be in those situations, but they're driven to seek masculine affection.
Yeah. You're right. I was actually having lunch with a friend of mine yesterday who unfortunately is going through a real tough divorce. His wife, who's wonderful, was singing in the church as a soloist and phenomenal couple. She ended up falling in love with somebody that at her work and had an affair, and unfortunately it's not a great story. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about it, and just on the side in his pain he mentioned that she didn't have any kind of a relationship with her dad. Mm-hmm. And although that was not, the conversation just talking about that, in my head I went, okay, mm-hmm. bingo. That even though she had what looks like a good relationship with her husband, she still had some deficits that she had not worked through. And, we need to say loud and clear that we can work through our deficits, mm-hmm. and God can give us the strength. She chose to go a different way. Now, when it comes, I want to go back to girls and kind of growing up in this culture that really bombards them with the message that they should be having sex and having it all the time. I mean, it's unbelievable what we're seeing out there. Mm-hmm. And yet you encourage dads to give your daughter permission to wait to have sex. I underline that and start it. What do you mean?
Well, again, I think it's counteracting that message that she's getting. She needs to hear the truth from her father, and she needs to hear it spoken in no uncertain terms. And, you had mentioned earlier about sharing your experiences, and I think that is so important. I think our failures are our experiences are some of the most important things. Now, unfortunately, as dads and as parents, sometimes we want to present this perfect image so that we're not somehow encouraging our kids to act out in the same ways that we did. But I found that if we can share things with our kids where we made mistakes, it is very helpful for them to be able to learn from our mistakes and not repeat them.
Well, you may or may not know, but, here at Homeward, we've written a number of books on pure foundations. And so we talk about the purity code and how to talk to your kids about sex and sexuality. And so we actually have a seminar. Homeward is the largest provider of parenting seminars in the United States, probably the world. And one of our seminars is called Teaching Your Children Healthy Sexuality. We train our speakers because we say the first thing that they're going to ask is, if I didn't do it right, do I tell my kids that? Mm-hmm. And it's amazing because we could be talking about any aspect of the subject, but when the hand goes up, that's the question they're going to ask. Or maybe they're embarrassed to say it in front, so they come along the side, but it's always ask. And what I hear you saying is, no, look, we need to be open and honest. I don't think we tell them every issue, but I've often said, as a dad, say to your kids, not just your daughter, but your sons too, hey, the reason I'm passionate about you making some better decisions because maybe I didn't make as many good decisions about it. That doesn't mean you have to go into every detail, but, show them why you're passionate about them making better decisions.
And I think God, uses us in our weaknesses, in our failures. Yeah. That's how he uses us.
No,
I think that's an important lesson.
No, exactly. It's been said that if you talk with your kids about sex, you can talk with them about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, talk about the recent study that you had in your book, which concluded that 76% of teenage girls said their fathers influenced their decision as to whether or not to become sexually active. That was huge.
My wife and I started when they were very young, talking pretty openly about sex, age appropriately. But we really wanted to set that trend so that when they were teenagers and older, that they would come and talk to us about it. And it actually worked a little bit better. I remember once my wife and daughter coming down when I was watching the game, and we need to talk, which of course frightens me anyway when those words are spoken. But my daughter had been dating a young man for several years and felt that maybe she wanted to give him the gift, and here was talking to us about this, and it was like, oh my goodness, I'm not sure that I'm really prepared to talk about this.
Exactly.
But my thoughts were, if you can have him call me and convince me that it's a good idea, I'll give it my blessing. But nonetheless, because we had established that willingness to talk openly and honestly about it, she came to us with a major decision like that.
Yeah, and that's why we, if we can, it's never too late. But you know, if we can have those kinds of conversations without us just lecturing, preaching, but actually create dialogue and not just have the one-time conversation, but as a process, it's going to be a lot more. And actually, for those of our listeners who are married, it's also when they see a healthy relationship with a spouse. Don't you think?
Absolutely. And, you bring up a great point about listening. That's one of the things that I really try to do with my daughter. I would pick her up from school. I would take her to school, and I would really just listen. I would stimulate conversation every now and then by asking her how she felt about that, and she would just rattle on and talk and talk and talk. And it was important for me to be there for my presence, but for me to be listening to what she was really saying between the lines as well. But if I had been lecturing, she wouldn't have wanted to for me to drive her or pick her up from school.
Yeah, no, that's a great input. You know, I loved another part in your book where you said sometimes the greatest gift a dad can give to his daughter is to allow her to suffer. And then you were saying that, you know, your wife actually used to pray that if the kids were doing something wrong, that they would get caught. But suffering is actually a part of life, and they need to learn that, don't they?
It is. Suffering is actually good for us. Mm-hmm. And you'll notice that God allows us to go through certain things throughout our life and suffer through it because it helps to grow and develop and mature us in ways that we cannot do unless we go through those kinds of struggles. And when we rescue our kids, when we don't allow them to suffer, when we don't allow them to fail, we're actually doing them a disservice because later on in life it's going to be much, much more difficult.
You're exactly. And I love a phrase that you gave. We don't have, again, much time left, but your daughter needs a dad who will not quit on her.
Again, so many girls to me that their dads aren't willing to fight for them, that they are just brokenhearted because their dads have just given up. It wasn't worth the fight, apparently. And I think sometimes in the angst of teenage years, that's how girls judge how much their dads love them, is by how much they're willing to put up with, how much they're willing to fight for them.
Yeah, and that is an important concept. Our time together has gone by so fast. I feel like two friends were sitting at Starbucks, even though we're, you know, a couple thousand or 1,000 miles away via phone, but sitting at Starbucks having a great conversation about how to be a more effective dad. And I think there's some moms who got a lot out of this program too, because they can encourage their husbands to be more effective and to, you know, just absolutely be there for their kids. So Rick, thanks so much for being with us. Thanks for writing a great book. And we are delighted to have you on the Homeward Broadcast.
Thanks, Jim. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
And that concludes part two of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Rick Johnson here on the Homeward Broadcast. Our theme has been how a father's love protects and empowers his daughter. Rick, as Jim mentioned, is the author of the book, That's My Girl. It's a book that he highly recommends, and you can learn more about that at homeward.com. If you missed any part of today's program, remember we are always streaming audio at homeward.com if you're not there already, so check us out there. No subscription involved there. Just go to homeward.com, and you can go ahead and hit listen to the broadcast, and there it is. We're also podcasting through iTunes. And there's more information on how to start that podcast as well. So much material to talk about, Jim. And one of the more important issues that we are dealing with specifically, too, is money and how to talk to our kids about money. This is a big area where dad can speak into a daughter's life. We have some new tip sheets to talk about. These are helpful resources for parents.
Well, you're right, Roger, and I'm very excited about them. I know a lot of families have really been impacted by the challenges in this particular economy.
Yeah.
And you know what? I believe that these changes can lead to a lot of what I would call teachable moments for our kids, for our grandkids, and even for our own lives regarding stewardship and just how important it is. Stewardship is more than just an issue of how you spend your money. It involves how you invest your time, how you care for the most important relationships in your life as well. And that starts with our relationship with God.
Amen.
But it's so key to so many things about our life. And Homeward has created a brand new set of tip sheets. I'm very excited about it. The tip sheets are about money and stewardship, and they're based on a series of well-known Bible stories that should be fairly easy for your kids to understand. But they also include some very practical tips for your whole family. You can start looking at these issues like giving and saving and even investing from more of an eternal perspective. Great new tip sheets.
They certainly are, Jim. And I know one of the issues that we as parents have to confront is we're talking about some basics that the culture doesn't reinforce anymore. I mean, one of the reasons that your Pure Foundation series is so popular is because it talks about every aspect of sex and sexuality, not just telling kids to don't have intercourse until they get married. Same thing with money. Same thing with these stewardship tip sheets. And we're grateful for our friends at Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment trust company. They have partnered with us to make these tip sheets available. Go to homeward.com, go to the articles and media section. When the Get Answers box comes up, you'll write in Steadfast, S-T-E-A-D-F-A-S-T, and it'll take you right to the tip sheets. And then you can be more intentional about having a conversation with your kids. So the dialogue is more than just here's $100, don't spend it poorly, but rather here's what stewardship is all about, and here's how you want to invest properly, save, spend, and give. So go to homeward.com for more information on that. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.